This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and today we're talking about RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16, Episode 11. We finally are now down to our top six, to JKJK. We went with not one non-elimination. We eliminated somebody today. And boy, we have a bizarre maybe episode to talk about with this weird ass challenge of doing a slideshow presentation. But don't worry, I got plenty of help to go through everything here. First, she is recovered from her tonsillectomy. It's Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm feeling good, tonsil free, and I can talk for long periods of time without having any pain. So I am excited to be back. It has been a while, and I was thinking about it. I was like, this is what, episode 10?
11.
Yeah. We're in episode 11, and I've missed like a third of this season because of this. So I'm really excited to be back, and very excited that, you know, it's the three of us bringing in this episode, which I think is really interesting.
Yes. And he helped me hold down the fort is the wonderful Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm wonderful. This season is really flying by. I just took a look at how many episodes season 15 had, and they had 16. So I'm assuming this will probably maybe follow a similar pattern. So maybe we have like a good four or five more episodes. So Beth, you can like get your footing again. But this episode definitely is crunchy. It's a crunchy one.
Yeah. So I think if we're forecasting for the rest of the season, next week will be 12. We'll go down to mm-hmm. five queens. Then we'll go down to four queens for episode 13. Then it's a little bit hazy if we're going to a top three right. or a top four. One of those episodes, I assume, will be the reunion. But yeah, we're definitely getting close. We're in the home stretch now. And the room has narrowed. We are looking at our top six now. Unfortunately, we lose Maya here, our lip sync, flip sync assassin of the season.
I love flip sync. Yes.
We'll keep that. A bizarre challenge, spill the tea mini challenge, a really weird jam-packed episode. We'll get into everything. But Beth, first I want to turn things to you. What are your feelings generally now back with Drag Race? Last couple episodes, this episode, where are you at?
So I'm not going to lie. I was kind of happy I didn't have to do the past couple episodes because I was like not as entertained. Like, I don't know. They just felt like a lull to me, especially last season or last episode. I understand that we're at an age where we're going to have non-elimination episodes, but I don't know. I felt like that took the air out of the balloon a little bit. Not to the extent of season 14, but definitely enough that I was like, oh, okay. When Drag Race came on this week, I was like, all right, you got to be good. You got. And I do think that this episode was really, I really liked it. And I think that it's got some finessing to do in order to repeat it, this challenge for the future. But I don't know, maybe it's because I come from higher education. I like presentations. So I don't know. But I really think like the past few weeks, I think all the eliminations made sense. And so I wasn't really shocked by any. I think losing Plasma was like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I think that you guys and the Wartenbergers really kind of got into exactly why that was the case and whether or not we agree with it. I think it happens every season. And I don't think she had much more to show that she didn't already. Rusical's over. Snatch Game's over.
Yeah. I mean, I think like when it comes to Plasma, I feel like, and not to like rehash it all over again, but I just feel like because she was edited so strongly from jump in being the queen that is refusing to be underestimated, the queen that is refusing to allow these other people, these other queens to like get in her head and make her feel some type of way about like her own style of drag. And then she won that talent competition or whatever. And she was like, oh, I'm in this to win this. I feel like we are led to believe as an audience that there is no way that she doesn't make it. But what I love the most about this season is that no, bitch, you might not make it. You might just fail a lip sync. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that it doesn't invalidate like everything that she's done this season. But I just thought it was like a nice reminder that like, you know, it can be topsy-turvy and it kind of is what it is. And maybe you were right. Maybe we weren't going to see much more from her, even though the edit in the beginning was giving her this arc of I'm going to be the underdog all the way through. And that didn't really pan out the way that you wanted it to be.
For sure.
Yeah. Instead, now we're getting a cue face cracking as our Jan now of the season, even though we thought it might have been Plasma. So she is really upset about Saphira taking
I hope next week's. Yeah, I hope next week's mini challenge is something that Q wins and it's like extra therapy for your time. That's the prize. Because the way they have like mentally tortured this poor queen this season, I can't. But we'll get into it for this episode, I know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, look, let's talk about the main challenge this week. So I don't think we've never had this specific challenge before. We talked about it a little bit last week that this could be like the drag con panels. Like it's kind of giving similar energy of you have to, you're assigned a topic. It's a team of queens and you have to sort of present that topic. Here though, specifically, they were giving a visual aid of using a PowerPoint presentation because they were explicitly tasked with come up with your own silly drag awareness employee seminar. So seminar was kind of like the key word here. Although I did like that it was drag this week. It's drag awareness month.
That was my favorite line. I tweeted it immediately. I was like, what a sentence that was.
Yeah, what a sentence. It couldn't be this week, drag awareness week, but I don't know, whatever. Fine. Who cares? So the teams are assigned. It's Plain Jane and Q, Morphine, Saphira, and Nymphia, and then Maya and Dawn get assigned together. They each get assigned a topic. So teach drag history, or like, do you know your drag history, drag in the workplace, and then are you a drag queen? You might be surprised. Amon, what did you think of this setup, the topics? Challenge.
I thought it was interesting. Like like you said, it reminded me a lot about like season 10 with the drag con panel, and they had to like sort of present a facet of drag life. I specifically remember the one that Eureka was in with the whole proportionizing, teaching people how to pad. So that was kind of like the energy that I got from it. And so I liked that this was pre-planned and that there could have been a little bit of improv in there when you start working with the audience, but most of the stuff is supposed to be pre-planned. So I liked that, you know, people that necessarily aren't the best at improv get a chance to redeem themselves in a challenge like that. And we saw this with Nymphia. So maybe since I'm a big Nymphia fan, maybe I'm a little bit biased towards enjoying this challenge. But I do think that it did help show a couple of strong suits for the queens and just how well they can interact with an audience and engage with them. So I enjoyed it. I thought that the, you know, some of the execution of it was a little wonky, but I laughed multiple times throughout the challenge. So I enjoyed it.
Okay, that's good. Beth, what about you?
I love the challenge. And like I said, I've been to numerous conferences. I've had numerous retreats and seminars and whatever. Like that's, it's like my whole job to sit through these. And so when I saw that I got to see the drag version of it, I was like, ooh, one I could pay attention to. Yeah. But it was really, I thought this was such a fun challenge because yeah, if you're going to do a drag con panel or something, you're going to rely a little bit on something like this. Or if you're ever going to host, these are different kind of hosting skills, but they're going to translate to so much of what you're going to be able to do to interact with fans or audiences. Mm-hmm. And making fun of corporate America is always funny. Mm-hmm. So like, I thought this was great as a concept.
I think those people were actors. I think that they were actually being.
I think they literally were like, hey, you from office, go downstairs, be bored. I just love the idea that they were like, we're going to put our really bored employees at WOW Presents.
That's what I thought. They just grabbed them, brought them downstairs and were like, all right, guys,
here you go. But yeah, I really liked it. I think that I didn't know that they were going to use slides until they got on the stage, and I kind of go back and forth a little bit about, I wish I had seen more of the queen's creative process leading to the challenge. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have 90 minute episodes, I think, you know, maybe that could have been more of the storyline. But that said, I also liked being pleasantly surprised, especially with, you know, playing Jane and Q's slides. I think they really capitalize on it. So I think that, you know, this challenge really showed who is able to think not just about how they're coming across on stage, but pre-planning things, who's comfortable in front of a crowd, who's comfortable using aids of some sort, and comfortable talking with at least one other person.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you. I would say that my initial impression, though, was like, what the hell is this? Like, this is weird. I don't like this. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what are the skills that it tests? And it's everything that you both have mentioned. And that's really what I want to see, right? I want to be able to see the comedy, the improv, the writing jokes, the interaction, the hosting, like all of that. I think those are all super critical skills. And so they allow queens to either succeed or flop potentially. But that's just another different skill set that I'm happy that we get the opportunity to test. And that actually doesn't really happen all that often in Drag Race. As fundamental as those skills are, we just don't actually really see it all that often when you look at the individual challenges. It's maybe one aspect of that, but certainly not all of them put together. So I think that's what really then made this turn out, I think, okay, even though I had some serious trepidation in the beginning. I think it'll worked out, and I would be okay if they kind of did more of this style, the drag con, the seminar, the, again, having to like present a topic, make it funny, banter, like create some fun environment for the audience. I'm very happy with that.
I feel like they should just do a challenge that is like some, like it's a hosting challenge. Like you have to, which is like what we're going to see. We're kind of going to see a little bit of that next week, because they're going back to like creating a room, and this time it's a bathroom, and so there is like a little bit of hosting that comes into that. But I kind of just want to see a raw, okay, we're going to give you a bunch of fans of drag, we're going to throw you into a club, and we want the two of you to pair up, and we want y'all to host the night, we want you to MC the night. And I think that'd be really
bring us back to season two where they went to a strip club and they all had to strip on the pole and get money from people. Like, I'm being serious. Put them out back in the into the environment. Yeah.
Pies. The pies. Make them pies. Oh, that was so awkward. Yeah, I love that.
So funny.
Yeah, be more creative. Look, go for it. That's what? Season freaking 16. You know, come on. Let's try.
For sure.
All right, let's talk about each of the groups and how they did. Get into some of the nitty gritty here. We're going to start with Plain Jane and Q. So those are the first two to kick things off. Do you know your drag herstory, Beth? That was the topic that they were assigned.
I think that in terms of presentation, they had the best one. They clearly had everything really woven into the jokes, the dynamic between the two of them. You could see them riffing. You could see them where they were planned. But that's also where the negative comes in for me. I could see when they were thinking and trying to work through something on their feet. But I do think they were more successful than quite a few of the other queens in this challenge. And I think that their visual aids were the best of everybody's as well. So it was a really strong opening. And as soon as I saw the two of them were going to work together, I was like, okay, so one of them's winning the challenge. Got it. And then it happened, but we'll give it to that later. But I thought that did great.
Yeah I thought that they had I think they had a pretty strong through line. Everything was pretty cohesive. It had a beginning, middle, and end. And a couple gags in there. Not all of the drag names for the historical figure or historical figures landed for me, but regardless of that, I think that they definitely had a clear concept. They knew what they were going for, and I felt like Rue followed along a lot more, and he was a lot more game for this one, maybe more so than the others. So, I think they did a pretty good job, and I placed them immediately in the top upon seeing it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me that they did overall have the I don't remember which judge said this, but the most dense jokes. Mm-hmm. So they mm-hmm. already started off with Heterodynamics Corp, which I thought was really funny. The Ross Matthews, the CEO with his like little mustache, the slides, the historic clips, those mm-hmm. kinds of jokes, the like immediate visual gags. I feel like they use the slides the best them as a prop and including them. Now, I will say it was really awkward, in my opinion, actually. Watching it, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I was laughing and I was very uncomfortable at the exact same time. Like, I can recognize that the jokes are really funny, but then also with just the way that the two are interacting, or maybe it was Q's reaction or something, there was something very awkward about it.
I didn't get what they were going for at first, because they were like, oh, thank you, Dr. Q. Oh, yes, Dr. Plain. And then it was just like, oh, doctor. I was like, okay, I'm laughing at this because it's insane, but like, wait, so are you guys dating? Like, are we supposed to be like, are you guys openly together? Like, are you not trying to be together? Like, what is it? And then you start kissing at the end of stage. I'm like, okay, so they were flirting with each other the whole time, but like, you didn't always get that part all the way through, because they were focused, which I think was, you know, probably the better thing to do. They focused more so on the jokes that they were telling in the slide, as opposed to like the inner storyline that the two of them had together. So it did throw a little bit of awkwardness in. I know exactly what you mean.
I felt like that was the stuff that they just did on the fly and didn't prepare for. Like, at first somebody just said doctor, and then the other one repeated it, and then they were like, oh, this is something. Let's just keep this going. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
It gave very like much
Shay and Sasha Velour trying to
that
was way better though.
What is that movie? Rocky Horror Picture Show. Dr. Scott! Rocky! that's all I thought about.
there's another movie called Spies Like Us, and there is a scene where it's Doctor, I thought maybe they were trying to do like a parody of that, but that's a very I wouldn't say like obscure reference, but now it is more an obscure reference because the movie's from the 80s. So I was like, that's not what they're
doing. Is it like a cult K film? Because
no, it's not. So I didn't realize if that was like, was this supposed to be a reference to something, or is this just like some weird characterization that I'm not 100% following, like exactly what's going on. So I think that the individual jokes themselves were well done, but all of the mm-hmm. stuff around it was very awkward, because I did see, you know, in the conversation of, okay, ultimately I think who deserves to win, I would have given the win to Safira, even though she fumbled, because I think she had the best hosting job. She was most comfortable. I felt okay with her, whereas I felt uncomfortable watching those two.
I think the reason why I liked Plain Jane and Q more than Safira mm-hmm. was purely because of that awkwardness factor. Because I have sat in how many of those where you just sit there and you're like, I don't think this person prepared. and they're in front of a room of 50 people, or these two people who are from two different schools, for example, if I'm like at a conference for colleges or whatever, this is the first time they're meeting in person. You can tell they do not have the dynamic. And I think like that's what I was gathering out of it. I don't think that was intentional by any means, but I think I connected with it because I was like, this really does feel like people who are like, hi, I have been working with Aman on putting this together for 4 months now, but we've never met in person. And this is us trying to give a presentation. And you're like, ugh. So I don't know. It gave very much that energy.
Doctor.
Yeah. That's, if they were going for that, I'll give them some credit.
Yeah, I don't think they were, but I think it was a happy accident that just worked for them in my eyes.
Yeah. Okay. The next group. Oh yeah. Okay. The next group. Talk about awkward. Let's talk about Dawn and Maya.
Do we have to?
Yeah, unfortunately we do. Next. They were assigned the topic drag in the workplace. And I will say, I think that the concept that they were going for was good. I think that there were some good ideas. I think the survival kit was funny. But the judges, I think, described it best. And it was so awkward to see them try to like give Dawn compliments without being like, and Maya was garbage. Because that was definitely the vibe that they were going for. It was like, Dawn, you were the person we could go back to and feel comfortable with. And we knew where things were going. So it's like a saying a lot without saying a lot about the other side of things. Because look, there's no surprise to anyone, Aman. Maya flopped on this one.
It was so bad. I don't know why they didn't come in together. I don't know why Dawn had to be the one to come out alone and then she had to come running in rather clumsily, because then it didn't even seem like a bit anymore because you actually weren't great.
I would have played that up. I would have been like, if I know I'm going to be shit, I'm going to play like I'm a shit presenter and be like, and clearly be over the top with it. But
honestly, that could have really worked. They really should have leaned into that. Like, Dawn should have been like, okay, I'll be the one that's like very, very put together. Like, I'm literally going to carry us through, and you're going to comedically be like, yeah, look, read this slide. Y'all get it? All right, next slide. Like, that could have really, really worked.
But like she should have had like the laser pointer or whatever and just been pointing at all the wrong places, or like poked herself in the eye, or, you know, like just like done all the random stuff, you know? Yeah.
So that way you can still get like Dawn can still like, I mean, you can still work together on the jokes and have the jokes in the slides or whatever. But the delivery of it is what really could have saved her. But I think that she tried so hard at times to actually present, because she was so focused on the words that she was reading from the card that she forgot to be funny, and then she slipped up, and then I just wanted it to be over so bad, because I just felt all of the anxiety on that day. I just felt it all.
Okay, the dropping the cards at the beginning, active choice or true accident? Where do you guys land?
Active choice, but I don't know why.
Okay.
I thought it was an accident.
See, okay.
Because there's a split moment where you see her go, do I pick him up or do I just keep going? And she decided to keep going. And I don't think that was the move. But that's just my interpretation.
So I think I still ultimately agree with Aman that it was a choice. It was an active choice. So I thought because of that was going to be really smart, like make her this sort of bumbling idiot who like doesn't know what she's doing up there, dropping the cards, spot falling all over the place. So I agree, like lean into that, you know. And the in the walkthrough, Joel Kim Booster, who's the actor slash comedian who comes on to both be the walkthrough and then the actual judge, like he provided the feedback of like, look, Dawn, I understand the concept, but then you're kind of going into straight man territory. I hope that didn't shy them away from going towards Maya being like just totally out of it and Dawn sort of trying to keep things together. But I do feel like even if Maya had leaned into it, I just don't know how well that would have worked anyway. Yeah. So maybe they were just doomed from the get-go.
I think Maya even talks about it in Untucked. She was just really in her head. And this was not a challenge that was going to work for her. I think she saw the writing on the wall that she, you know, was going to be in the bottom again and was ready to flip out, so to say.
Yeah,
this was,
oh my gosh.
Ugh.
It also, speaking of the walkthrough, I was unfortunately reminded of when the question was like, oh, Maya, do you ever get on the mic? Like, are you ever hosting? And Maya's example was like, yeah, come get your tickets or something like that.
No, she said, she said, oh, come on in. You won't catch the gay.
And that's hosting.
Oh, no.
The shade from Morphine, too, was like, I have never seen her host not a damn thing.
I have to say, though, I'm putting this out there. Not everybody has to be a good host. You know, if I go to a Maya Amon LePage show, I'm not there. No offense, Maya, but I'm not there to see you stand and talk to us on stage.
Correct.
I'm there to see you flip, dip, and give it to everybody in the audience. Like, that's why I'm there. And that's where she shines. And I think that this, you know, just a good reminder to say that not everybody who goes on Drag Race is good at Drag Race, but they're good at drag. Not everybody who's good at drag does well on Drag Race. It's not everybody who does well on Drag Race translates that to a successful career afterwards.
No, they don't.
And I mean, of course, in an ideal world, like, everyone's good at everything, but that's purely not the case. You're not going to see Sophia out there doing flips, right? But she's got her skill set. Maya's got hers. And that's what makes the world beautiful. We all have our own skill sets. But unfortunately for Maya this week, that was not the brief. The brief was essentially a hosting gig. So unfortunately for her, a little bit.
But this is an example where they were like, you know, the drag survival kit, it could have been something like, okay, what are the things that Maya's really good at? And she could model being the drag queen. It's like, okay, be aware if a drag queen ever flips out and like this, but it's her doing a flip or something like that. Like, I think that there's aspects of that they could have played with, but I think Maya was very much defeated from the very beginning. And I think Dawn was over it and wasn't. I know how frustrating it would have been to be in that situation. How many of us have been the partner on a school project that's just doing everything, right? I get that. But I also feel like Dawn. Okay, well, clearly I knew that Liana and I were definitely the people then.
Amon's like, yeah, I was the one leaving early and not reporting.
Amon's like, I want to give thanks to all my partners over the years in class.
Shout out to y'all if y'all are still watching this. I just want to say thank you and I am sorry.
But
yeah, no, I think that, look, there's ways around it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have a weak teammate, it's either like, how much do you accommodate for them? And how much do you try to like center it around them? Or how much do you try to spend energy of like, look, let's just create the best product. And if I shine, I shine. And as long as you don't take me down with you, like, then that's the main thing. And I think having the judging be individual and not team, I don't know if they knew that beforehand or whatever, but I mean, that would be the only reason to really try to cater everything to Maya, to be like, how do I prevent myself? And especially if you're Dawn and you think that we're going to be judged on teams and I'm going to have to lip sync against Maya, the flipper of the season. Oh, no. You know, I would do my best to try to prevent us from ending up in the bottom. But it did just eventually seem like an inevitability, unfortunately. Yeah, absolutely.
What a great, I'm sorry, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, she should have done her Cher impression or done something that she knew was a callback that made RuPaul laugh. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know if there was much that she could do at all.
I don't really know. Like, drag queens, so you're aware, will love to do impersonations of drag icons.
I'm great.
Like, that would have been so stupid.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's very smart. Okay, maybe there was.
I'm just saying, there's always a way. There just wasn't a will this time.
Let's talk about Sophia, Nymphia, and Morphine. Amon, you were pretty high on Nymphia, and I think she did a good job here.
I think Nymphia smashed it. I was surprised. I mean, I thought that she probably would do better than she did in Snatch Game because there was nowhere to go but up at that point. But I think that she really, you know, she set out to do what she said that she was going to do. She didn't want to fall behind Saphira. She wanted to make sure that she made an impression. And I think, you know, the way that they had their thing set up was very smart in that, you know, that they had the largest group. There's three of them. So they knew, okay, everyone should have their own little moment. And I think that really served well. And I think that when it came to Nymphia, she really stole the show. And like, I kind of thought that the top would have been including her at some point. I don't know if Saphira is there. I don't know if Plain is there. I don't think that Q is there. I think that Q is just slightly delusional if she thinks that she was better than Plain. But any one of the three of them could have been in the top. And I think that I probably would have preferred if Nymphia were like the constant. I thought that she did a really good job. I thought that Saphira did a good job as well. I think that I agree with what the judges were saying in that she had a presence. She clearly... This is her thing. This is what she does. And I don't think that all of the people that are upset about her winning because she had that stumble, because the show in the edit chose to highlight that stumble. So she stumbled once. Like, that doesn't mean that she can't be in the top. Like, I'm sure at some point the other queens probably may have stumbled and you just didn't see that part. You know what I mean? But they specifically chose to highlight that and then gave Dawn a confessional about it. So now in your mind, you're thinking, oh my God, she did a horrible job. No, she stumbled one time and then picked it back up. But the whole finished product was great and top worthy. So I think that people, y'all need to calm down. Okay.
I agree. Cause like even just a second ago when you were like the whole blah, 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 like that's just humans talking. Like, we don't always know what we're going to say when we're saying stuff, right? But we know what the point is that we're trying to make. And those that are used to hosting and presenting and talking and those kind of things are probably more adept at coming up with things on the fly. But that doesn't make them immune from being absolutely human and having to repeat words or try to figure out where they're going to go with a sentence. And just because somebody trips over a couple words a couple times doesn't mean that their overall presence and, you know, presentation were awful.
Right.
And that's where I felt super good about Saphira. And I was really impressed. Maybe again, this is preconceived notion going into it, knowing that she hosts, this is her thing. But I do feel like she just has such an energy about her, such a presence. You just can't help but want to look at her. Like, I think she did a really great job holding everything down. I think she did a really great job giving her sisters opportunities to each have their moments, as we talked about. So it wasn't like over dominating in that way. And to me, the reason why they had to highlight the flub is that that's clearly a plot point, right? Like, Q's upset because, oh, well, she flubbed, so blah, 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 right? So that's why we saw so much about that. Not that it's because she did such a terrible job. It just so happened she did have a slip up. So then they could make an argument that, well, then she shouldn't have won, you know, because it wasn't perfect and she has flaws.
So do we think that this is going to be important for this coming episode? Like, do we see a Q versus Saphira thing that's sparked from jealousy, envy, that kind of thing? Do we see this being a plot point of does Q not make it to the finale? And this is like the beginning of like, well, not the beginning. She's been in the middle of, of this for a while. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to like read into the edit and try to see like, what's the point of putting that in there? Because I will be honest, I thought the tops would have been Nymphia, Saphira, Plain Jane, with Q being safe. I agree with Amon.
Yeah.
And I think that while she had, we'll talk about the runway, but like her runway was obviously very, very important. I struggled to think of a time where a runway was the reason that somebody won over doing better than somebody in a challenge. I don't know. So I feel like, are we getting drag delusion to a certain extent or drag overconfidence and then not feeling validated? And then, you know, how does this play into her edit for the season?
I think it's definitely going to lead towards I'd be more inclined to believe it might lead more towards like a thing between her and Plain now, only because the two of them are the ones that have the two wins and they're all looking to catch up with Saphira now. So I'm like, do we see her trying, like, she's like uber just like focus on getting that third win and then like fails again. That's what I think they were going to be. So it's heating up. Okay. It is heating up. Saphira's got three wins. The other two have two. Nymphia still needs to get her ass up in there if she really wants to be, have a shot at the end. But it's still anybody's game right now. And I think that is like what's so
I think fun about this whole Dawn thing. And Morphine have to win this week. Otherwise, I see them being the next two to go. And then I think it's kind of clear who our final four are right now. But it's Drag Race. And so they could absolutely be like, nope, Q goes home this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever, you know, it could be whatever.
The reason that I think that they included it might be something as simple as Q's just really upset. Like, I don't even know how much it goes because I watching her reaction, her walking back after she's called safe, her turning to Saphira and say like, I'm happy for you, but I'm gagged during the music when they're supposed to be like, yeah, let's vote. Q looks done. Like, so done. She looks pissed. We're gonna start the next episode with the after the elimination, and they're all gonna be sitting back there before D-dragging on the couches, and Q's gonna be freaking pissed, and that's gonna be a topic of conversation. But yeah,
I can't wait.
I don't know why she's as upset as she is. Like, you didn't blow Saphira out of the water. Okay, like it wasn't, and if that one little flub is the thing that you are saying is what's gagging you the most, that I can't believe someone that flubbed a word is going to win over me. Girl, do you remember what you had on last episode? You could have went home solely for that. Okay, like I'm just like,
hello. Hello.
Q, come on now. You have two wins. And maybe in this season, it doesn't really matter because Plasma had two wins and went home. So maybe it's like a lot of paranoia. It's like, bitch, I got to keep winning or else I can go at any point, which, you know, could be true. But girl, like, you're acting like this was like an injustice. And I really don't think that it was.
I will say this. I live for the Midwest queens who come on and do a good job, but don't win in these recent seasons, like Daya Petty and her, and like get upset. Because I think it's human. I do identify with that to a certain extent, like where I constantly feel like I, like at work, I'm not maybe recognized for the things that I'm doing in a way that means something other than just like a pat on the head. That's like, good job. You know, so I get that.
If Saphira hadn't won, you would not have won.
And I know, but that's exactly
it. To her credit, she did say it should have been Plane or I, which I think is a little shady towards Nymphia because Nymphia also did a good job. So it really could have been Nymphia as well. But the problem with that is that you gave, and I know this is a collaboration, right? But you gave arguably probably the most memorable joke that everyone talked about. You gave it to Plane and you wrote the joke. Why did you let Plane open up with the slide, and you did the second one? Because you can notice that the second one didn't get as many laughs. So like,
right? And they were like, "Here's some historical clips," and none of them were historical. Like I was expecting like an old like Fascinator or things like that, and instead it was like, "Here's some stuff from Claire's," which was still funny, but it was I agree with you, Iman, and I also just honestly think that Plane. I felt safer with Plane than I did with Q. Q felt just a little awkward, like she was trying to get it out of her bones a little bit more. Correct. And she was really like doing this, but I felt like she was overcompensating for her awkwardness, which made it more awkward.
Yeah, that Silky Nutmeg Ganache thing was, I don't think that landed the way that I wanted it to.
No. And that's the thing too. I mean, I'm sure it's tough for Q to see, right? Like we're third party outside observers. So to us, it's like very clear that she wasn't even in the top three. And because I agree. I think Plane did better, and I think that Nymphia did well as well. So yeah, that's a little bit tough. So I think we're going to see some emotion from her at the beginning of next week's episode, and I'm kind of here for it. So let's go, face crack.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Alicia was honest. She was like, I'm happy for you, but I'm gagged.
Gagged. I know.
I'm here for that. I would rather, this is what we want from television, quote unquote, villains, right? We want people who are true to how they are feeling or what they are doing and take accountability like, for that shit.
You're not
That's
happy.
All we want,
you're not happy,
right?
You're not happy for Sevilla.
You're not happy. You know, last night I was playing Catan on Board Game Arena and I stole from somebody with 3 points instead of the person who had five. And the person literally was like, I only have three. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Like freaked out in the chat. And I just wrote, sorry. And then somebody else wrote, you're not sorry. And I went, you're right. I'm playing the game, right?
Anyway. Yeah, that's great.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, good. So next week, we'll have some drama. Let's see, as always, what happens. Let's go through some of the looks and let's see if maybe this changes our opinions on anything of who should have been the top, who should have been in the bottom. So we're going to kick things off with Plain Jane with her look. So again, the theme this week for the runway was flashback, Drag Con 1980. Aman, what do you think of Plain's look?
I love the 80s. Every time I'd like get into like 80s stuff, I'm like, oh, I was born in the wrong decade. But I thought that, Plain Jane looked amazing. It reminded me so much of like the designs on like not only in clothing that you would see, but also like a skating rink or something like that. You would see that like design on like the floor or like on the wall or something. Like it just felt so nostalgic and so just, I just knew it instantly like what it was. I loved the architecture of the suit. I love how it's so angular and jagged, but also soft and supple. So I thought that it was a great look. I really enjoyed it.
I love this outfit. I think we instantly know from the moment that she walked out what decade she was in, right? I also, I love that this is kind of complimentary to the challenge as well, even though that has nothing to do with the runway. It's just like, she could have wore this suit for the challenge as well. And I totally would have been fine with that. It makes me wonder if she actually had planned for that. And then there was like, oh, I can make this a little bit, like,
can you imagine
my 80s runway?
A queen has like the balls to wear the same outfit that they wore for the challenge and just walk right back out on the runway.
Like, I want to see that. I want to see that. Dear queens, if you know you're not going to win Drag Race, pull that shit. It'll be iconic. But no, I really like this outfit. I think comparatively it was safer than maybe some of the other outfits that are going to come up. But I love, the capri business pant, the peplum, the shoulder pads, the hair, all that. The only thing I couldn't understand with this prompt for the runway was it supposed to be 80s or specifically 80? Because 80 has a lot more 70s influence than you would imagine it does.
Right.
But if they were like DragCon 1980s, or if they had said like 1985 and got it like right in the middle of the decade, I don't know. But I think it's up to interpretation.
1985, chasing Madonna.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Oh, I want to do it too. Okay. It's definitely a little bit up to interpretation, and certainly don't mix the hair with the wrong outfit because you will get torn apart. 70s and 80s mixing. How terrible. I really like this from Plain Jane as well. One thing, and this has absolutely nothing to do with her at all whatsoever, is just the colors of her suit and the colors of the runway and the lights on the runway. I lost the gorgeous shape of the silhouette. Like, it took me, even looking at the photos, which, by the way, thank you to @drag.looks. Again, we stole your pictures. The watermark's there. We're giving you credit. That bottom picture on the left like that's the one where I could really finally see the silhouette in all its glory. And you mm-hmm. can kind of see when she's standing on the runway a little bit too, in an untucked as well. But I didn't get that initially when she walked out. But that again has nothing to do with her. It just so happens to be that that color combination is difficult to see. But yeah, right. I think stunning. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Q. So we had two homages to Keith Haring with two Keith Haring prints. This is the first one with Q. Aman, what'd you think about her look?
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was a wonderful statement to make. And like, I don't know. I don't know if it's uncouth for me to say this, but a piece of me also wonders if like some of the ire that Q was feeling about like this not being her week, or at the very least Plains week, mm-hmm. was because she had been through such an emotional journey this past week. And I feel like when you go through things like that, you want some type of payoff. And I'm wondering if like, not that she, you know, contributed her story to sort of like manipulate the judges. I don't think that anybody would try to, well, some queens might try to do that. But I don't think that it came from that type of like underhanded spirit. I truly don't believe that. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if that played a role in all of the frustration, because you know, that's such a heavy thing. I mean, 2 years is not a long time. You know what I mean? Right. Like, so to admit that you are HIV positive and you are still dealing with it and you have all of this support and you're finally sharing, you haven't even spoken to your family about it yet. And so effectively you are coming out on national television. Like, I wonder if that was sort of like a part of the heaviness that she was feeling towards the end by not winning. So, but I, aside from that, I thought that look was very well thought out, very, very, you know, just... I love it when there are looks, because we've had quite a few queens on the show pay homage to all of the people that we've lost during the AIDS pandemic, or epidemic rather. So
I completely agree. And I want to say for the record, I wouldn't blame her for feeling this way, feeling like I put my heart and soul into not just the challenge, but this runway. And we have to remember Q has made everything that she's presenting on the runway. So she made this herself before she got here. She had this planned for a long time. It clearly got, you know, the attention and the love and support from production and the cast and RuPaul that I'm sure that she had hoped for and deserved. So I don't blame her if she feels like, what the hell? I did fine in the challenge, and this runway was way more than just me.
It was very personal, yeah.
It was very personal, but it was also like, I don't know. I definitely think that that's more than valid, if you know, and that's absolutely contributing. And I think that this is absolutely stunning. When she came around the corner, everything about the way this is styled, from the length of the skirt and like how the skirt is almost like pleated at the bottom, to the black stockings with those red shoes, the shoulder pads, the gloves, everything that is styled with it is very 80s coded, in addition to just, you know, the beautifulness of the gown and the fact that it pays this important message.
I think the only thing that I would have changed about the outfit is I wish the bow was just a little higher. It felt a little droopy, a little loose when she turned around. But other than that, yeah, beautiful look.
Yeah, I think I'm not saying that she can't. I agree with you both in the sense of like, yes, she can feel her feelings. And this is, I mean, to be able to have that conversation in the workroom with Plain and then to talk about it with the judges and all of that, like that's very emotional and very impactful. And that I can understand that she feels this way. From a pure, let's set that aside, that you're going through your own journey and you're going through that. Like, we have to look at the product. And I think that this is gorgeous and stunning. I don't think that it elevates her then out, like up to the win though. Like, I don't think it's at that level.
Mm-mm. No.
Next is Dawn, who was described by Rue as Zig Zig Sputnik, or a member of the band Zig Zig Sputnik. And looks directly out of some Sig Sputnik. Okay. I don't know if it's spelled Sig Sig, like S-I-G-U-E, not zigzag. But I don't know. That's what I wrote down from Rue. But Rue loves it. Others may be a bit confused. Rue loves it. I thought this was really fun and weird and bizarre. And like, go for it, Dawn.
I was confused how Michelle thought this didn't represent the 80s. I was like, are you kidding me? This is very 80s coded, just because it's not like pop and it's more alternative punk. I think that this is so 80s coded and I loved it. I thought this was such a cool outfit.
I hate it.
Spill the tea.
I hate this look. I think that it's ugly. It looks like she's wearing someone's drawers on her head. I don't agree with the wig. I don't like the chaps being held up by those suspenders. I don't like the holes in the fishnets, even though they're supposed to be there. I get it. I don't appreciate the freaking bathing suit color choice. It's just too much going on. You know what? She was arguing with Plain Jane at the beginning of this episode, right? And telling her, which I agreed with her. I think that her analysis about Plain Jane's look last episode was the correct one, because I felt the exact same way. It's not, look at the rest of your sisters. They are giving coloring. You are giving nude with green. Like, that's not, it's a little boring. And so as soon as she pops off and Plain is like, you know what? The thing about you is that you are just all concept, but like no design. Like, it's just everything swirls around in your hair, but in your head. But like the execution is not always there. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that in terms of this particular look, because I did look up like who Zig Sputnik is. And yes, I mean, it does look like it, but I just think that this is just very, very messy. Something about what I saw with Zig still seemed a little put together. This seems like you went through tornado and then the tornado threw up on you again. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
That's actually a really good point, because I also, while we were talking, looked at some pictures. So, okay, let's pull up this picture. So if we look, open image in chat. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I agree with you that there's still something that does look very put together about their looks versus what Dawn is giving.
It's because it's like in the words of Bianca Del Rio about Jocelyn Fox, it's like she fell on a clothing rack in like Spencer's.
Right. Like there's and too
didn't
many
take
things.
Enough off. Yeah.
You need to edit. Yes. You need to edit just a bit more, I think. Just a bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, like I always say, I couldn't make something like this. So take everything I say with a grain of salt.
You're like, what do I know?
I totally think that's more than valid. I really like this. When she walked out, the moment that she walked out, I was like, ooh, this is cool. This is different. I like it. I got the...
You like it. I love it.
Wearing her horse hair. Okay. Maya is up next. Now, Maya was an interesting one because Maya Googled DragCon 1980 Amon and
people found the reference photo. People found the photo that she was talking about. Yes. And it is exactly this damn dress.
Yes, it was like an AI generated if DragCon had existed in the 80s.
That's the best part, is that it was AI generated. And I think Maya thought it was like a real inspiration.
Correct.
Whoever designed that wig, though, the wig is like, it's like to the T of the reference photo. It's crazy. Like
my favorite part though is her saying, I wanted to put my own spin on it, so I put these two flowers on my shoulder there. I was like, you can barely see those.
but there's also like, well, I guess in the reference photo they aren't flowers, but there's still like there's like a rouging. Yeah, like it's not like you didn't really go, you just turned that rouging into a rose as opposed to like adding it to begin with.
Okay.
But I just thought that this was
hilarious. Yeah, let me find it. Let me pull it up. Because there's sort of ruffle flowers on the shoulders, as you guys were saying. Yeah, so here's the reference photo. So
is that a bowling ball?
I think so.
Oh, she messed up. Where's the ball?
I mean,
she did her bowling gloves on.
I should have gloves on.
Wait, did it show the shoe? Yep. Because I have to tell you, I hate those boots with this outfit.
Yeah, I do too. The black boots.
I feel like I've seen that boot on Maya pretty much every single outfit. I'm being that person that's like so hypocritical, because I'm like, you shouldn't have to look at that. But that boot does not go with that.
You know. I don't necessarily have an issue with people because she sews. So did she make this?
She does not sew.
But she doesn't still made. I thought, but she still made her outfit like the other time. Like Safira, like helped her with it, but like she still sewed it herself. At least according to the both of them. I don't know if that's like her. As a drag queen, but
I mean, she. It's easy to sew something once everything is cut out for you and yeah. Right, proportions.
Like the physical motion of this. Right, versus like. I can sew, but I can't sew.
I want it known. I can't sew either because I tried doing just a quilt square.
Really?
I was so bad. I kept going way too fast and being like, oh no, how do I stop?
Well, regardless of that, man, like I don't think it's a bad thing for designers or whoever to, you know, go online and do some research. You should be doing that, especially when you're trying to create something that is of a certain time period. But then you get those ideas and then you bring your own energy into it. Making an exact replica of something that can easily be found online, I just don't think is the move. Because then we're just sitting here being like, okay, so what work did you actually do? Because if you didn't even sew this dress and then you didn't even allow the designer, whoever did sew the dress, the dignity of coming up with their own design, you just said, hey, I want this, make this. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good look to me.
I mean,
it does kind of make me laugh.
I like it. I like the look. I like it. And I love the story and everything behind it. I'm getting very much like if Lady Liberty was brought into the 1980s, could you imagine if this is what the Statue of Liberty looked like? I would live for that.
I would love that. Can we actually do that? Can we remake? Can we make over the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, put her in drag. Let's do it.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about Safira, whose look I believe was described as like, this is what we expected. Like, this is the look. And I think that also helped so much with like bumping her up to give her the ultimate win was the fact that she also had a look that the judges were guffawing over and absolutely thought was like so perfectly 80s.
Yeah, I think that she did. Again, she knows what is going to get the judges going. You know, you got RuPaul and you got Michelle on that judging panel. They love the 80s. They're nostalgic about the 80s all the damn time. So if you give them something that is instantly recognizable with that prom dress and then with the Whitney Houston, I want to dance with somebody hair, it's just going to send the two of them. They're just going to be in heaven. They're going to be in heaven. She played to the judges and I applaud her for it. Know your damn audience.
I totally agree. I have to say, I think this is the most beautiful her makeup has been as well. Like, and there's just something, and like, she does a great job painting anyway, but I think there's just something with this hair and with her, like she looks so youthful in a way where she can sometimes come off as looking like really mature or intense. And this was like really soft for her. And I loved that. It was very playful. I loved it when she was walking, but as I'm looking at photos, the proportions, because they're supposed to be, it's supposed to be big on her, just look weird when she's standing still with her hands in front of her. Like,
yeah, the skirt's a little wonky, just a touch.
The skirt's a little wonky up here is a little wonky, but like it's supposed to be big. It's like she almost looks like the not Barbies, but like some of the dolls that were around in like the 70s, 80s, 90s that were just like the clothes just didn't fit them the way they were supposed to because like they just didn't have the quality that Mattel had for Barbie. I think it's like
not the Barbie knockoff.
Yeah. The Wish.com Barbie who didn't have clothes that were tailor made, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Generic Barbie dolls. I think she looks stunning. I think if I'm locking in my winner pick, it's Safira. That's just what I'm feeling at the moment. We'll see how things change, but especially with the win here, I just think her overall confidence level.
Not for nothing. Like the fact that RuPaul really just appreciated the way that Safira walks because it reminds him of his own family. Like, mm-hmm. You know, should someone win necessarily because of that? No, like Safira can't help that she is slew footed, just like people in RuPaul's family. But did it help her in this moment? Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. You got somebody wearing 80s attire and her slew footed. Like RuPaul's life literally flashed before his eyes and he was like, yes. Yes. Give it to Samira.
She triggered an acid flashback with RuPaul of like, this is. I definitely agree. I think that Saphira has to be the winner of the season so far. Like, not has to in terms of like nobody else better, but like I just in terms of like how she's doing. If not her, I do hope it's Nymphia. It would be great to have. I think Nymphia has been killing it. She's definitely got a different, you know, perspective and such. But I think it'd be pretty great to have like the second Asian winner. Yeah. But anyway,
yeah. Okay, let's talk about Morphine and her borrowed hair, because I guess her wig broke. And this one also, maybe a little floppy, a little deflated Dolly Parton, I believe, as it was described, Beth. Morphine.
Well, yeah, and it's not just the hair. It's like the outfit gave deflated Dolly Parton. Like, this is very clearly a 80s Dolly Parton-inspired outfit. Wear some big old titties. Let's do it. You know, wear the long nails.
It off of her ass.
I love Morphine, but I definitely feel like, you know, probably this week or next is, you know, she's just not quite at the level in the competition that the other people are. I think that she's been a good safe queen for most of this time, and this is kind of showing it for me.
Okay. I have something to say. And I don't, you know what? I'm just going to say it. Morphine, that ass job is not finished. I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Not you coming for her BBL.
Because she talks so much about it and she's so proud of it. And you know what? Like, if you love your ass, girl, then that's all that really matters. But to me, it still feels like, because the amount of times since she'd be smacking it and shaking it and showcasing it, I'm like, it's not round enough. Like, it still feels like it's like, it feels like there needs to be like more like cuppage at the bottom. Like, you know, where like where ass cheek meets the upper thigh. Like, I feel like there needs to be lift there. And I feel like that doesn't exist. And so I feel like whenever she does showcase her ass, I'm like, I don't think it's giving the effect that it should, but you know, whatever. Like, if she enjoys it, then like, who the hell about to say that, you know, you shouldn't enjoy your own ass. Like, you know, I like my own ass. If someone else might not, but it's just, I'm just saying.
You know what? I have not had that thought about Morphine, but I do think that there are lots of times where the outfits that she's choosing don't appropriately show off her ass. Like, it's like, yes, she's
that too. Mm-hmm. That could be part of the problem as well.
Yeah. I think what's the problem is that like this actually makes her butt look flatter. And I don't know if it's because of the sheen of the material or whatever. Like, it's not because of the shape of the dress that is tight. You know, I think it literally has to do with like the material that was used. And so I think that there are times where she's trying to show it off and it's not as effective versus when she's had like, she had that look a couple weeks ago that was like black and white and like really sculpted in hourglass and curved or whatever. Her ass looked amazing in that. So like when she's really tailoring it to, because she's short. She's short queen, which means it's harder for her to really appropriately show quote unquote proportions, especially if you got a fat ass. Like, you got to really be sure to like make everything look curvy. So if you're not looking curvy here in the bust, it's gonna, and you're not wearing a material that shows off your ass that well, like it just looks like her bust looks droopy and she doesn't have a bust. Like that's what I think is throwing me off, and it does connect, I think.
Yeah. I would say the other thing about this look is the cutouts were not like appropriately placed to get that kind of like shelf butt that you're like looking for, right? So you're not going to be able to emphasize that. My opinion about her BBL, since we're all talking about her butt, is that it's actually quite natural. Like it fits her. I think it actually fits her body and it looks really good. Whereas like when I'm thinking about a BBL or someone who's like really overemphasizing that part of their body, it's like not natural. Like it looks, it's exaggerated on purpose. And that's the point. Whereas hers just like looks like she grew it herself kind of thing, which I mean,
she
I guess
did a shit did ton of squats
stuff around. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
it makes
so
me wonder like what it looked like
before, right? Right? Yeah.
I would love, you guys have no idea. I would love a like reality show that was like drag queens before they had plastic surgery. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so in. Yeah.
I would love that. Botched, it's not necessarily botched, but it's more like bitched. I don't know. Like, you
like this was botched. So that's why he thought of it.
But no, I don't think, no, that's why I chose my words. I was like, I said, it's not finished. I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it looks bad. I'm just saying, I wouldn't even, you know, I wasn't even going to say anything, but like, I felt like that the moment that she started showcasing her ass from episode one. And like, I just kept silent, but I was like, whatever, it is what it is. But then someone in the bar this week made a comment about, I think they were like, I don't think her ass is as big as she thinks it is. And I was like, I think so too. Like, I feel like she has like, I don't know. But again, yes. If she likes it, then that's all that fucking matters. So it is what it is. I just, you know, whatever.
It's proportional.
I think we should say for the record, we here at the podcast love all asses.
All body types.
Any size.
Give us the pro ass. We love them.
If you want some titties, grow some titties. If you want a BBL, get yourself a BBL. If you want to get your chin done, get your chin done. If you want to get some dental work, get it all done. I don't give a damn. Get your nails done. You're a fly girl. Get a pedicure. Get your hair did. I was just offering a quick observation.
I love.
Okay, let's close things out with Nymphia, our second reference to Keith Haring with the Keith Haring print. And I believe she was described as not just the 80s of drag, but also the future of Dragamon.
I love it. I love it so much. It was just so... the minute she walked out, I got it instantly. And of course, like, you know, adding the Keith Haring in there really just gives it, it sets it in that time, but it also does look so futuristic, which is so, it's such an 80s. Like, the 80s were all about, like, sci-fi, Star Wars was, like, popping, Star Trek, everything. It's all about, like, futurism and all sorts of stuff. So I love that she was able to capture that vintage 80s, but in the future. Like, it just, it felt so, these, like, little metal spires and spirals are just chef's kiss. I love the hair. It was giving very much Aeon Flux, even though Aeon Flux technically is a 90s thing. I just, you know, I loved it. I loved it. I can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm.
I like also just like bold colors that don't necessarily go together like on a collar wheel or whatever. Like that seems very 80s to me too. Like everything was bold and big and popped and those kind of things. And I really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. And her undergarments, her tights, whatever it is, that's the bottom piece where she has the bottom spiral is like so perfectly matched. It's not distracting because that's really, really tough to do because she's wearing undergarments. Like she's not naked there.
Could you imagine if she was naked?
Like, my pussy.
Apparently, when they did the nude illusion runway, Katya really was naked and really did show them just her tucked ass.
Oh my God.
So it is conceivable that somebody would do that.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, Valentina was practically naked during season 9 with that Madonna.
Oh, the Madonna? Oh, yeah.
The Madonna. I mean,
she was literally naked. She had a.
Also, Violet was literally naked for that runway, too. I guess, but still, regardless, those were naked runways. Here, you can actually get away with. But I completely agree. She knew how to blend that perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the lip sync. So, Morphine and Maya end up in the bottom two. Donna Summers, Dim All the Lights is the song, and Amon is reacting. So, I'm very curious to go to him first.
I don't know. I'm conflicted about it, man. Like, a piece of me is like, ha ha, shade. Oh my God. You know, wow. Craziness. Can't believe that she did that. But a piece of me is also like, Morphine could have really gotten hurt. And.
Oh, yeah. With the cape.
With the cape. And she is so, because you saw her leaning all the way back. Like, it'd be one thing if you had, like, gone in front of her and, like, you know, you know, did like a whole Matador type thing. That could have, we all would have chuckled at that. That would have been funny. Get the gag. We get it. But to throw it on top of someone who's already leaning back so far, like if that had like really like scared her, she could have fallen on her ass. And then I just immediately thought about drag not being a contact sport. And as crazy as it was, because the bar erupted. So was it good TV? Yes. Did it like make my like spidey sense, danger sense spike up? Yes. I was like, oh my God, I hope she, but Morphine, to her credit, she pulled that shit off, literally pulled that shit off without a hint. So I think, yeah, I mean, I think that Morphine clearly won that lip sync. And I loved what Dawn said about the delayed split gag. It was fun because it was long, and then it stopped being fun because it was a little bit too long, but then it goes right back into being fun because you're still doing it. And then she dropped at the right moment. I thought that was just the chef's kiss. So yeah, I don't think that Maya did herself any favors by throwing that over on top of Morphine, at least not with the judges, maybe with the audience, but not with the judges, because RuPaul did not seem very amused by that.
I also think that it's not even like if Morphine had been surprised by it. That cape looks like it has a little bit of weight to it too.
Right.
And that, but I completely agree with everything you said, but I also lived. I was like, nothing like fully covering somebody doing a moment. Like, nah, you don't need to see that. Look at this. I kind of live for that. I just think that neither of them, I felt like did like an incredible job, and it's Donna Summer. So like, there's not much you got to do to get RuPaul to like you. You can just kind of sit there and bounce around a little bit and like know the words and you're going to be great. But I felt like both of them just like were trying a little too hard for the song rather than really understanding the song. I feel like if you go on this show, you kind of need to know what does RuPaul like, because you've got 16 plus regular seasons and like all this other stuff, and you can kind of cater your lip syncs to what RuPaul likes.
Yeah,
honestly. I think what I appreciated about Morphine though is like, even with the split gag, like it was a gag, but it was still about her face and lip syncing and emoting and all of that. So it almost wasn't like this is a distraction. It was just like a fun added element to it. So I don't know. I think I would have picked Morphine to win. I think also with how she handled the cape, I think with the holding the splits, the back bend, like all of that, I thought was all very impressive. And I think that overall Maya did worse in the challenge as well. So she's already like in quite a hole that she kind of has to dig herself out of. So as long as Morphine does a serviceable job that is able to match Morphine, if Morphine does a serviceable job that matches Maya, then I think that that's all it really takes. So I do think that Maya should have been eliminated here.
I think strategically, they're really, I just think that it was the wrong choice to throw the cape, because either one of two things happens. Either what we saw happens and she pulls it off, and then you're all impressed because she was, something got thrown on her and she was able to get out of it. Or she falls backward and is like flailing around underneath the thing, and then you look bad. So it's like, either way, you weren't going to be able to win this. So, and the fact that during her confessional, she was like, I'm kind of gagged that out of all people, Morphine was the one to be, what do you mean?
Like, I know.
She clearly beat you in that lip sync.
That's a really great point of mine. Like, what's the best case scenario? Like, Morphine gets medically evacuated. Right? Like, that's
Jeff Probst comes in out of nowhere and
Dr.
Like,
Will comes out and like has to remove her. You know, that's the only way. Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I agree.
I have to say though, just like talking about the split thing for a second with Morphine, besides the strength that that takes, especially in your like, you know, inner thighs and your hip abductors and all that kind of stuff, the ankles in heels.
Ouch.
So impressive. So that is.
I sat there and I looked at that. Her bones are not normal. That is not normal. Look at her, like her ankles like this and the other ones like that. And I'm like, what is what? It was. It was incredible.
I want somebody to combine the Monet exchange fake out and actually like fake out and land in the half and then go down. I want to see that.
That'd be good. If you can do that, oh my gosh, the strength. But that would be so funny. All right. I really want to talk about this mini challenge because look, did a ton come out of this? Maybe depending on what queen you are. If you're,
I was just gonna say, could you imagine if you're Plain or Saphira and you actually had things about you, but then it was like if you're Maya and not a single thing applied to you
was about you. Well, the thing is like, so Saphira got positive ones, right? Who do you trust to give you the biggest tip? Who's going to spend her $200,000 wisely? Like, those are all really positive things. So if you're Saphira, great. You go away, like, feeling good. If you're Plain, you're the most likely to be blocked online. You're most likely to blow your money inappropriately. Most delusional. Yeah. Like, I feel like it goes one of two ways. Like, would you rather have nothing about you or have negative things about you?
I would rather have negative things about me. I am a Leo. I was like, oh, yes.
Like, I want to be talked about.
If I'm on television, I want screen time.
Yeah. That's a good point. Because, yes, yeah, so Nymphia got passive aggressive. Morphine got most likely to not know what passive aggressive means. Gaseous was Dawn. So Q also didn't get any. So which, Q
let's talk about that. You got Q thinking that she should have won last week, going into not winning any, not even being recognized in that mini challenge, to then thinking probably that she did way better than she actually did comparatively in the main challenge, having this heartbreaking and emotional and uplifting, beautiful truth telling that RuPaul calls it on stage, where everybody is like, you know, thank you for the message. Thank you for sharing your truth. Thank you for being vulnerable, having all of the stuff, having her moment to really talk about this, and then not winning. Like, we are definitely in the Q villain era.
That should have been one of the props.
Yeah. One of the props is create your villain story.
Yeah.
On Drag Race.
Who's currently in their villain era? Starting their villain era.
That would have been so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
You know what? I'm just missing. Yeah. Imagine if RuPaul had done the icebreaker questions that Probst did for season 46. That would have been amazing. Coming out and being like, all right, would you rather have tea spilled or would you rather, you know, like, what is she going to do? Like, or have hot tea spilled on blah, blah, blah. Like, it would just be like ridiculous.
On you. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else that either of you would like to say about this episode?
Nope. I'm just really excited for the next one. I love the room design challenges. Those are always so fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what they come up with and how someone like you or Nymphia, how, you know, their designer brains translates from clothing to a space, because it's not exactly the same. So I'm really excited to see how that works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm stoked. I think that while I can see Saphira win, I could see Plain Jane win, I could see Q win, I could see Nymphia win. I think that this is a pretty even cast. Mm-hmm. And even with Morphine and Dawn, like, there are people who I'm not counting out. Like, I think that Dawn has been, I think this was the lowest placement she had, which was low, but not in the bottom two so far. And I think that, you know, you have someone who's really been consistent. I think Morphine, all it takes is one really good week for her to prove one really good week and then one poor week for somebody that I already named. And it, the dynamics change. So I really am appreciating how this season is shaping up. I think we've had really interesting characters. I appreciate that they're not necessarily playing for the cameras. I think that they're being drag queens, and I love that.
Well, we'll have to see how it all turns out. Next week, as Amon mentioned, we have it's called Bathroom Hunties is the official name. So it's a room designing challenge, as Amon described. So we'll have that next week. Our top six will theoretically be whittled down to a top five as we start to close out the season here. So thank you both so much for walking me through this weird ass episode. Really fun. Always enjoyed. Happy to have our little squad back again. Amon, what do you want to plug? What do you have going on?
You can find me at Amon Adwin everywhere. I will be covering Big Brother Canada 12 as much as Big Brother Canada 12 will allow us to all season long. I think I'll be on this Wednesday's episode. So I'll see you guys there.
Amazing. Beth, what about you?
You can follow me on all my social media at AugustaWind11. And you can catch me on My Weekly Meltdown if you would like some more supplemental coverage to your Survivor coverage. You're on RHAP.
Perfect. And speaking of Survivor coverage on RHAP, Mike and I did the B&B earlier today. We recorded with Kevin Jacobs to talk about, you know, a bit of a tough episode, but we had a lot of fun and we're a bit inappropriate. So join us on the B&B. Puya and I are talking about Masked Singer, of course, and then holding down the fort here for Drag Race. If you have not watched Survivor EU and you are a Survivor fan, I cannot begin to plug it even more. Please, please, please watch it. It's super fun. I'm really enjoying it. We're going to the final episodes this week, so you might have already been spoiled, or be careful if you're watching to not get spoiled. Thank you to everyone. If you want to help us, you can leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes, robhiswebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you to the whole RHAP team for all of their help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.